Thank you very much, brethren, and we greet you this morning. Isn't it a wonderful day our Father has given us? My, it is so beautiful, and it being so beautiful, I'm glad you've come here and not out on the river somewhere, the ocean or gulf or what have you, because it probably would have been a great day for fishing. In fact, some of you may be planning to go once the meeting is over this morning. I don't know. But we're delighted to see you, and we thank God for the way he's blessing the men of the church. And we surely thank God for you and your families. And I concur wholeheartedly with Brother Finley. I believe that God would be very pleased to just continue to cause the men's group to grow and to harness the tremendous potential which we have. And if we'll let the Lord do that, then I know that it will be a blessing indeed. So it's a privilege to say just a few words to you this morning. The brethren have asked me to speak, I think this is the third or fourth time now. Then in January they're going to get someone else, but I have been glad to have the opportunity for the first two or three meetings. I want to read from the Word of God today, a scripture which God has laid on my heart, and speak for just a few minutes on the subject, God's gamblers. God's gamblers. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 15, and I want to begin our reading at the 22nd verse. Acts chapter 15, beginning our reading at verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch, with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner: The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, Ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. May God's blessings rest upon the reading of his word. I want to call your attention to the 26th verse. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This word hazarded in the Greek is literally gamble. Men that have gambled their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Men, are you God's gambler this morning? Have you gambled your life for the Lord Jesus Christ? When I say gambler, obviously I'm not referring to the very repugnant, evil sort of thing that men do, that sort of gambling. And I pray that God Almighty in His divine mercy toward our state will give our legislators enough wisdom and judgment that they will not swallow this idea that we need a lottery in Louisiana. We've got enough problems without adding sin heaped up upon sin upon it. And I trust that God will give them the wisdom and the knowledge and the courage to defeat such a measure as that. Now, obviously, gambling is a great problem. Two or three reasons why I have difficulty with it. Number one, it violates a very distinct rule God has laid down. 6 days shalt thou work and do all thy labor. A man that gambles violates that direct command of God. Second, it always has inequity. Somebody always gets hurt. The winner may fare well, but the children of the loser don't fare so well. And the next time, the winner himself may have his children not faring well. But the third and most vicious thing against it is, right under the cross of the dying, bleeding Savior, a crap game was in progress. They had a crap game to decide who would get his robe. If that doesn't show what gambling is all about, if that does not show the spirit of hell behind it, then nothing else will. But I'm not here this morning to preach a sermon against gambling. I think all of you know what the Bible teaches about that. But what I am here is to urge that you and I be gamblers for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said that these men had gambled their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, am I willing? Are you willing to gamble your lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm glad to tell you of men of God who have been perfectly willing to gamble their lives for God. I think of Moses and Aaron. They really took their lives in their hands when they went into the presence of Pharaoh and started giving him orders. To just walk right in to that supreme dictator and tell him what he had to do and what he could not do was a bolsome thing, I can assure you. But these men knew that God had called them. So one of the secrets, brethren, of gambling our lives for Jesus is to know that God has sent us to do that particular thing. Now, well might we be frightened if we don't know that God has sent us. But if we know that we're standing there in the will of God, it makes all the difference. This past, when was it, Thursday or Friday, the Gay Rights Ordinance was before this past Thursday. Brother Flanagan, Brother Miller and I, and Brother Kaling were down at the hearing at the City Hall. And if you men have ever spoken there for or against anything, you know how that you fill out a card, and then they just dump your card with others, and they're not in alphabetical order, and they flip-flop them. First, one speaks for the ordinance, one speaks against the ordinance. And they had 160 speakers lined up, all of whom could speak 3 minutes. So potentially, by the clock, they were to have been there until 8 o'clock that evening if all 160 were going to speak. And so I had been sitting there for some time, and I had signed up because I wanted to speak against the ordinance. And the time was getting away, and I felt that I had to get back to the office. And so I finally prayed, "Now, God, you know I want to speak against this ordinance. If you want me to do it, then you have my name called up very soon, because you know there are many other things I must do at the office." And in just, I would say, 5 minutes, my name was called, and I had an opportunity to get my licks in against that bill. And thank God, we're glad that the bill failed, not because I spoke or any one person spoke, but because so many of us spoke against it. But more important, I believe that God himself defeated it. We prayed in church Wednesday night God would do it, and I believe that God answered our prayers. But my point is, I had no fear whatever because I knew God had placed me at that microphone. I knew that it was my responsibility to do that. I knew that I had to do that. And there was no debate about it. It was just sometimes you have to do the right thing. And so Moses and Aaron were not frightened to gamble their lives before Pharaoh because they knew that God had sent them. Brethren, are you willing to gamble your life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you perfectly willing to lay it on the line for the Son of God? And then I think of Elijah, perfectly willing to lay his life on the line. He took on the whole nation at Mount Carmel. That was a tremendously bold thing for him to do. Very dangerous thing for him to do. But he took them all on. And he said, let's settle this thing. If God be God, let's serve him. If Baal be God, let's serve him. But he gambled his life for the glory of God. But once again, Elijah gambled his life for the glory of God because he knew that he was in the center of the will of God. This was no presumptuous act on his part, and we're certainly not asking for any presumption on our part. We have enough temptation to do that on our own without adding to that. But we know that God has called us. We know that God has put us in a particular position. And when we know that, then thank God, brethren, we can gamble our lives for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the apostles sent Judas and Silas with Paul and Barnabas, their resume said, their letter of reference was, these men have gambled their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's risky business serving God. Now, the reason they said it was a gamble was because their conduct, their actions, were linked up with the name of Jesus Christ. You see, there was only one other name in that day that in any way rivaled the name Jesus Christ. That name was Caesar. So when you started throwing around the name of Jesus Christ, when you started saying, I'm a Christian, when you started saying, I'm a follower of this Nazarene, you, by that same act, were saying, I'm no longer a follower of Caesar. By that act, you were saying, Caesar is not God. You see, their emperor worship was very, very rampant in that time. And when you worship Jesus Christ, it meant you no longer worship Caesar. So when you said, I'm following the one whose name is Jesus Christ, you were disassociating yourself from Caesar. You were disassociating yourself from the government of that day. You were disassociating yourself from the biggest worship in society. And when you did it, my brothers, you were gambling your lives. But they willingly gamble their lives for the sake of God. You remember when Peter and John were called before the Sanhedrin? They said, what have you done? Well, what have you done? And they threatened them. They said, we don't want to see a recurrence of that act. But Peter, being very bold and filled with the Spirit, said, whether we'd obey God or man, you decide that. But we want you to know we are going to do what God called us. For we must obey God. We must do the thing that God called us to do. And there are times, brethren, when we must go above any obstacle, any prohibition, and simply do what God called us to do. Right is right, wrong is wrong. In doing that, we may gamble our lives. In doing that, it may be hazardous to our health. In doing that, we may assume a profession that innately is tremendously dangerous. But that's all right if we're doing what we're doing in the wonderful, wonderful will of God. And look at our role model, Jesus Christ. Even Peter said, Lord, not you to go to the cross. And Jesus called Peter a Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. The one who had just confessed that he was a Christ, the Son of the living God, turned right around and call him one who should not go to the cross. This is one reason among many I would have problems believing that Peter was the first pope. Because if the pope is to speak ex cathedra infallible, Peter sure missed the mark, I can tell you. The same first pope who said he was the Son of God turned right around and tried to keep him from going to the cross. And Jesus had to rebuke him. The first pope was rebuked by Paul himself when he went off course in the matter of the dissimulation among the Gentiles. But that's neither here nor there. What I'm saying is Jesus Christ was willing to hazard his life. The Bible said, brethren, that he set his face as a flint toward Jerusalem. Now that's a secret. Once you get that face set as a flint toward the cross, all the powers of hell cannot stop you. But brethren, as long as you're weighing the matter, as long as the issue's in the doubt, as long as the jury's still out in your mind, you're never going to gamble your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as you consider the pros and the cons if I do this, as long as you consider what kind of ill consequences will come to me. No, that's not the question. What will happen if I do it? The question is it right or is it wrong? If it's right, we must do it. If it's wrong, we must not do it. If it's a sinful thing, we must be against it. If it's a righteous thing, we must be for it. It's that simple. And once we make up our minds that it's either right or wrong, that it's heaven or hell, black or white, then it is, we will set our face as a flint toward Jerusalem. And when we do that, Simon Peter can't keep us from the cross. The devil can't keep us from the cross. The Sanhedrin can't keep us from the cross. The people mocking us on the cross can't make us come down from the cross. But we will stay on the cross because all along we've been perfectly willing to gamble our lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it comes when we surely make up our mind. Now in closing, I want to leave you one little thought here that I trust will just pull the whole thing together. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul is addressing the elders of the church at Ephesus. And in this particular example, notice what Paul says beginning at verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. The original is very vivid here. When Paul says, none of these things move me, then he says, to put it in our parlance of today, he said, if it is just a matter of my saving my life, just a matter of self-preservation, if it's just a matter I hope to live long enough to go on Social Security and enjoy retirement, if that's the only reason I'm trying to stay alive, I wouldn't lift my finger to do that. I wouldn't lift my little finger, says Paul, to just stay alive, to just enjoy retirement. He said, but the thing that does it is that I might finish my ministry with joy. So you see, brothers, if you gamble your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, it will come because you have the philosophy. If it's just a matter of self-preservation, if it's just a matter of physical existence, I wouldn't lift my finger just to live another day for that. But if it's a matter of me fulfilling the reason God put me in this world, If it's a matter of me fulfilling the role as a father and as a husband, I ought to be. If it's a matter of my making the contribution to the kingdom of God in general, but to the First Assembly of God in particular, that's why God put me in this world, then I'm not going to let anything keep me from gambling my life for the Lord Jesus Christ, that I might finish my course and my purpose with joy, that I might do the thing that God put me in the world to do. Brethren, God is looking for gamblers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend Harold Carpenter was telling in one of our chapel services at the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary, when he was a missionary to Africa, when Brother Jay Tucker, who was returning to the Congo, when all the political turmoil was so great a number of years ago, Harold Tucker said, I looked at my friend Jay Tucker, and I pleaded with him not to return to the Congo. He said, I looked at him and I said, Jay, if you go to the Congo, you'll never return. And he said, Jay Tucker looked at me and he said, Harold, God has never called me to return from the Congo. But Harold, God has called me to go to the Congo. Brethren, God help you and God help me to gamble our lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much, Brother Fidley.